Taxation is theft.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living room.
My job is to find the truth.
Double the taxes.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Triple the taxes.
This is an IRS agent's dream.
If you think that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself.
Beautiful, lovely taxes.
Sorry, but I don't do taxes.
Did you see the memo about this?
The government is a greedy piglet.
Just leave us alone.
Do you know what Ralph just said?
The roads.
You boys like Mexico?
I'm as bad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome back. Taxation is theft, if you couldn't read my hat. Or if you're listening to the audio-only version of this, which is available on podcasts on Apple and Google and everywhere else you can imagine. Tonight, I have with me Cameron Hernandez, who is really on... Okay, we're saying he's on FBI's most wanted list. He got busted by the FBI for exercising his freedom of speech. He got zucked harder than all you zuckers that have been zucked into Facebook jail in the past. Welcome.
Thank you.
So I guess let's just kick this off. Tell me the story. What happened? How did this transpire?
So here's what happened. I was actually about to leave for class. I go to college here at UT Dallas. And so I'm about to leave, and I get our doorbell. Doorbell rings. And it's kind of funny because, you know, sometimes where you just get this feeling like some shit's about to go down. Like, that's exactly how I felt. And so I go around to the window and look outside, and lo and behold, there's a police cruiser out there. So I'm like, well, I'm about to talk to some cops. So I open the door, and it's not just a bunch of cops. It's a guy in plain clothes, introduces himself as from the FBI. And so he's like, so Cameron, he made sure it was me, but he was like, we wanted to talk to you about something that was very interesting, like word for word, that's what he said. And I was like, okay, why don't you tell me what it's really about, because I gotta go to class. And he's like, oh, it'll only take a couple minutes of your time, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, he said that it was about a Facebook post, and I asked him what Facebook post it was, and he like wouldn't tell me unless I agreed that I was gonna talk to them. So I was like, no thanks, bye. And he was like, okay, that's fine, you know, it's a free country.
Did you, at this point, did you think he was, like, did you think this was a joke, or did you think he was, like, legit?
You know, I would have thought it was a joke if it wasn't for the fact that there are already a bunch of videos of people being visited by the FBI, Secret Service. So, like, it was at least a believable because there's precedent for it. But, yeah, it was kind of out of the world. Like, I never thought that would actually happen because first of all, I'm pretty, like, gentle and PG on Facebook. You know, there's people that talk about go kill cops and stuff. Like I stay pretty much away from that kind of thing.
So, like, did you have any idea of what post he was talking about?
No idea.
Okay.
For that reason, because I'm, like, I'm pretty PG. I don't know why they would come visit me. So, yeah. Funny thing is, like, when I said I wouldn't talk to him, they, like, tried to threaten me, kind of veiled threat me. They were like, well, we're going to have to talk to your neighbors and possibly go to your school. And honestly, the school thing kind of pissed me off because I'm like, the last thing I need is somebody to throw a wrench in that. But for the most part, I really wasn't worried because I think he was just trying to get me to talk. But, yeah.
All right. So what happened from there? Did you continue talking to him? Did you tell him to fuck off, or?
Yeah, basically, I mean, I didn't say fuck off, but yeah, I was basically like, yeah, you can go talk to my neighbors, you can go to my school, whatever, I'm still not going to talk to you. And they were like, okay. And so I close the door, get ready, I leave, and as I'm leaving, they're talking to my neighbors, and that's the last I ever heard of them. And so, you know, and that was, what, a few days ago? So they probably aren't really doing anything. And I really think it was just really just a flex, because I asked him for his business card and he didn't give it to me. So if what I said was so dangerous or so important, you'd think that he would want to have that conversation.
Right, in case you change your mind or something.
Exactly.
So, like now you still have no idea which post he was talking about.
No idea. I mean, we have some good guesses. I made a post recently that was essentially, I said, I declared a national emergency that can only be resolved by dismantling the government.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. I mean, but like, it could be that, it could be something else.
But it's like obviously a joke because of Trump's national emergency, and because exactly. Obviously you don't have the authority to declare a national emergency.
Right.
and I think everybody else was making that exact same post, or like, you know,
right.
Some national emergency.
You know, the crazy thing is, like, I'm not some big political leader. Like, I'm just a dude trying to finish school, just like everybody else. And I have some political opinions every now and then, and I put it on Facebook. Like, ooh, scary. Like, give me a break.
That's pretty wild. So, what did this? Let's talk about the psychological damage, because, like, you know, the police, they came, they didn't do anything, they didn't shoot his dog. What's he so pissed off about? How did you feel after this experience?
Dude, paranoid beyond belief. And, like, it's actually kind of a new experience for me, because, like, I've talked to the police before, and I usually get pretty rattled talking to the police, period. But this was on another level, and I think it really brings to light this idea that people don't think about, where we live in a society with so many laws, and the police could get you on any of them. And so when you have the police investigating you, or possibly investigating, you don't even know, then, like, literally every second of your life you're living, oh my gosh, am I breaking the rules somewhere? Oh my gosh, right. Are they gonna follow me? Oh my gosh. I mean, I live with my parents.
I didn't
parents
use my blinker. The FBI, are they gonna hand that over to the local police?
Dude, I was the best driver in the world on my way to school. In the world. I stopped behind all the stop signs. I was 5 under the speed limit.
Well, maybe that was their goal. Maybe they were just like, they're just like trying to scare everybody into being better drivers.
Such a waste. Here's what I think. I think even the FBI guy thinks what he was doing was a waste of time. And that, I think it's probably his least favorite part of his job, and that's why he didn't give me his business card. He knows it's a waste of time. I know it's a waste of time. And everybody just wants to get it over with. But most people don't realize, like, the toll it takes on your head. Like, I only went to one class. Because I could not focus. I was so anxious. All I could think about was, do I have something in my house that's going to get me pegged?
Right. You know? Or are they, like, did you think about, you know, are they searching your house while you're gone, or any of that kind of stuff?
Exactly. All that, you know, stuff you see in the movies just starts going through your head. So
what if they have you mixed up with somebody else, and, like, I mean, shit, what happened in, where was that, Houston a couple weeks ago, where they had the wrong house because some informant gave them some bad data?
And you know what's crazy is, so we actually have one of those video cameras on the doorbell, and we actually looked at the video, and when I opened the door, one or two of the police officers had their hands on their guns. Like I was, like I'm some kind of dangerous person. And That's even more crazy, because, like, what did this FBI guy tell these dudes to make them think that, like, they need to be afraid of me?
So that was what, local cops that were with the FBI guy?
Yeah, I think that's how they do it, because they're just trying to give more legitimacy to the FBI agent, because he's going there in plain clothes. Like, anybody could just walk up to your house and say you're from the FBI.
But I mean, like, that's interesting, because that's also what the what CPS does a lot of times. They go visit and they're like, we got to take your kids, and then there's a cop there. I think it's just an intimidation thing, because, you know, you probably see that too. Yeah, because you see people that are like, no, I'm not gonna give you my kids, and then, you know, these people are there like, but you have to give me your kids, and, like, you know, they don't, they're not very assertive people. They're not armed. They're, you know.
Yeah.
And, like, I think to a certain extent, you know, just like this other guy, like, they know what they're doing is kind of a waste of time or possibly unethical. But if you have a cop standing there, some people are just like, oh my God, I better do what he says. Especially if he's got his hand on his gun, which is like, man, like, you realize, like, it's a felony some places to just unholster your gun in the wrong place. And it's like, for, like, and you know, and it's like, okay, but, like, you know, hey, that's a nice gun, can I see it? Sure. And then you take it out and show it to somebody. Now you can be, like, arrested for, you know, dude, brandishing,
really,
or whatever.
Uptight about that.
And,
yeah.
But when it's like, when the cops do it, it's like, oh, and that's the other thing. You don't even have to take it out. You can just, like, show it. Like, you know, they do in the movies. Like,
yeah, that's, like, considered assault.
And, but then the cops are here doing that, and it's like, oh, but he didn't pull it out.
When the cops do it, it's not assault. Yeah,
he didn't shoot you. He did, like, you know, and then, you know, all the bootlickers they'll come along and say, yeah, we didn't do anything. And it's like, well, yeah, well, they got to get home to their families. And it's like, well, he had no reason to suspect a threat. It's, I mean, yeah, well, I'm not gonna go down that rabbit hole, because there's, you know,
I was talking to some people about this, and a lot of them were kind of thought it was fine, and they were like, well, the FBI has to look into these things, and you shouldn't be so hostile online.
Right. Assume and, guilty.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's really interesting to me how people hear a story like this, and their immediate reaction is, well, you must have done something to warrant them visiting your house, Cameron. You know, that's the immediate reaction. Like, the immediate reaction isn't, why are they bothering you? People that know you and know you're not like that. Their immediate reaction is, whoa, Cameron, you need to stop doing that. And I can understand that on the level of practicality. Like, the FBI, don't mess with the FBI because they'll F you up. But you don't get to say that and then on the same token be like, but you got to trust the cops, got to trust the FBI. They're here to help. You know, if they're so trustworthy, you shouldn't care if they're going to visit the house.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know? I mean, that's a little bit of the cognitive dissonance coming up. But what's also interesting is, like, so my friend, the dude, he's a criminal defense lawyer in Austin. And he, I don't know why I just thought of this. He's actually not allowed to say he practices in Austin because his office is right outside of Austin, which is stupid because he advertises in Austin. He practices in Austin, but he's not allowed to advertise his practice as Austin, which is fucking ridiculous.
Because he doesn't, because the office isn't in Austin?
Yeah, it's like right outside of Austin. It's so stupid. But anyway, so what's interesting is, like, and he's used this story with jurors before, and he says, you know, when you're driving down the highway and you see somebody who's stopped by the police, what's the first thought that goes through your head? Is it, oh, I wonder what this guy did to get stopped?
Exactly.
Or is it, oh, I wonder what this guy is about to be wrongfully accused of?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And it's, you know, It's interesting because when you put that thought in your head, it's like, well, you had to have done something to even get in this scenario. You're completely ruling out mistaken identity. You're completely ruling out the possibility that the people who are being arrested are innocent. You're basically saying no innocent person ever gets arrested.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a very, very dangerous state of mind to be in, because once you start thinking like that, then the police are happy to arrest anybody because they know, well, the juror thinks that everyone we arrest is guilty anyway.
Right.
Doesn't matter if we got the wrong guy.
And I hate to turn this into, like, Poe's law or whatever about Nazi Germany, but, like, I think about this a lot, and I feel like that is the mentality that helps bring you to that state of you know, complete tyranny is having this mentality, oh, if the government is visiting this person, it's probably because they did something wrong. And so, you know, obviously Nazi Germany didn't get to the point where they're like kidnapping and killing people en masse overnight. They didn't get there overnight. So like what happens is you see your neighbors getting visited by the SS or whatever, and you think to yourself, oh, I wonder what they did wrong. Not, why are they bothering my neighbors? You know, and then it happens more and more often. As long as it's not happening to you, you can make the assumption, well, they're wrong because they're bad people, but I'm not, I'm a good person, and that's why I'm not being visited. And, you know, people don't want to admit that they're living in a world where they are benefiting at the expense of other people, so they want to keep believing that, like, the government's good, they only punish bad people, and I'm good, and that's why they're not punishing me. And, whoa, like, we really need to, like, viciously get out of that mindset, or we're going to get to a place, and we are at a place where the minority is being punished like that. I remember talking to somebody about civil asset forfeiture when it wasn't really a big issue, like 5, 6 years ago or 10 years ago, people weren't talking about it as much. And I said to him, I was like, this is a big problem. And he says, well, you know, it's probably not happening as much as you're saying it's happening. And I was like, that doesn't matter. If it happens to one of us, it happens to all of us. And he just couldn't comprehend that way of thinking, but it's how we have to think, because that's the only way it's going to happen, is a little bit at a time, because they take advantage of this faction gradual stuff.
It's like, you know, the Grand Canyon was not always a canyon, and that happened with water, like just a little river, and it took a really long time, but eventually it became what it is. But I think there's, like, if you look at why people do that, I think it's really like it's a defense mechanism. Like, nobody wants to think we live in a world where, you know, it's a happy place, right? The government is there to protect us. The police are there to save us. If we're ever in trouble, we call 911 and they'll come and save us no matter what the problem is. And nobody wants to think that we should actually be afraid of these people. And so for that reason, most people refuse to accept, you know, whenever they hear these, you know, the police doing something wrong, they instantly jump to it's just one or two bad apples, which,
right.
I mean, that might've been the case at one point, but over time we see more and more of these cases, and
right.
One, it happens more frequently because they're not scared of the consequences, because there never are any. And right. Two, we're seeing more and more of it because now there are more cameras everywhere and we're getting access to those. Like, imagine 50 years ago when the cops didn't have cameras on them at all times.
And here's the real tragedy is these communities that we're seeing all these videos at, they have been begging and pleading to the public to pay attention and hear their stories for years. It's just that people never believed it was as big of an issue.
Right.
And I hate to bring race into it, but a lot of these communities, they're predominantly Black communities, and people were just like, oh, well, you're just complaining, we don't care.
Right.
I'm not saying people who said that were racist, but, you know, they've been saying it for such a long time, and it was only when the videos came out that people paid attention.
They want to protect that image in their head. They don't want to believe it, because as soon as they believe it, then it becomes an actual problem that they're afraid of. And, you know, we have an aversion to fear. We don't like being afraid.
Yes,
fear makes us very anxious and all kinds of other things.
The other thing I think it is that people know that if it is true, like, they have to do something about it. Like, they feel
they don't want to have to do anything. Yeah.
And they don't want to have to do something. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because what can you do? I mean, it's the same problem that the people who are trying to do something about it haven't exactly figured out yet. What do you do? Because they really have, you know, it's a huge armed force, and what can you do about that? You can't go in and arrest them, Like, even the ones who are known criminals, we don't have, the courts wouldn't accept our cases against them. They would just shoot us all down if we tried to arrest them. Like, and, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, oh, well, arresting a cop, that's an act of violence. Well, okay, what about arresting a person? I mean, that person hasn't been convicted yet, right? They're just arresting a person to take them to court to determine if they've committed a crime.
Right.
Because of suspicion. Why don't we have the capacity to arrest, citizens arrest of a police officer who we suspect has committed a crime? I mean, that seems like a perfectly rational tool that we should have as, you know, as citizens who are supposed to be keeping our government in check.
Well, I think what it is people intrinsically, they know that there's something wrong with that. Like, just being able to just decide to your neighbor, hey, I think you're doing something wrong, so I'm going to kidnap you and take you to court where they're going to figure out what to do with you. Like, we know that there's something wrong with that. But we're attached to this idea that because you have a specific uniform when you do it, oh, that makes it okay now.
Right. Well, or and that's a good point.
That is okay.
Because, like, I mean, if you witnessed your neighbor, like, I don't know, cutting his grass and, like, dumping the grass in the black can instead of the green can or something like that, you wouldn't go over and arrest him. But if you saw him, like, murdering his wife or something, you might go over there and do something, especially, like, you know, you live in a remote place where you know, the police aren't going to be there for an hour. You might do something, right? You might do a citizen's arrest. Or, you know, if you're in a store and somebody walks in and wants to rob the place, plenty of armed citizens have, you know, pulled their own guns out, and sometimes they shoot, sometimes they detain.
Right.
So we see that is a possibility in extreme cases, but for some reason, it's, you know, like you said, once you have the badge and the uniform, it becomes acceptable to arrest and even shoot to kill somebody who's suspected of a very, very minor crime.
Yeah. And I think when I think about, you know, libertarianism and shit, that's the biggest, I think, you know, positive about that mentality of being free is that, like, you don't get to just call the cops on somebody, like, and then call yourself a good person. Like, if you see something wrong, you go confront somebody about it. If you see someone being an asshole, just go up and talk to them and be like, hey, you kind of shouldn't do that. You know, if you see some kind of violence happening, then you do what you can to de-escalate that situation. I mean, people need to realize, like, every time you call the cops, you are escalating the situation and to the point where someone could possibly die.
Yeah.
And so if it's not already that bad, like, and you're still calling the cops, like, you should be ashamed of yourself.
There's, we actually have, I'm going to have someone on the show, this Wednesday, actually, who drives without a license, and we're going to be talking about that. But I was watching a couple videos of that, and there was this guy, he was, I think it was a Moor. Does that sound right? He,
I don't know.
He claimed that he was traveling under the right to travel, and he was stopped by the police, and he recorded the whole thing. And so he basically, you know, he told the police, like, I don't recognize your speed limits as law. I recognize them as suggested speed limits. And at the end of this encounter, the cops were like, okay, well, we're going to let you go. They didn't give him a ticket or anything. He didn't have a license. He didn't have registration. So, and they didn't escalate it. And so what was really interesting was, you know, so it seems like, and this isn't always the case, I know, because not all police understand the law. So I think that, you know, they probably knew something about the jurisdiction of the traffic laws. This cop basically told him, I understand your position. Could you just do me a personal favor? And when you drive through my city, drive slower, drive more safely, drive the speed limit. And the guy was just basically like, yeah, okay, sure. But what's really interesting is, it's like, if you think about it, this one always pissed me off. You can get a ticket for driving with your headlights off at night. And it's like, why don't they, if this is really about safety, why don't the police just pull up next to you and say, excuse me, your lights are off. Can you turn them on, please? And most people will turn, I mean, if you just flash your lights at people that are driving like that, usually they get the picture and turn them on.
That's what's crazy.
Same thing with seatbelts.
Like, why do we need to start, why do we need to extort money from people? You have the rules, and they're usually reasonable rules that people don't intentionally break. So even if you're going to pull somebody over, just be like, hey, can you get this fixed? Or, hey, this is something or whatever, and I'm not going to ticket you for it, but you should be drive safer.
And, like, and you know, it used to be that you would get warnings for this, and I think that's becoming even more and more rare, because now their procedure is like, as soon as they stop you, they have to call it in, they have to tell, they read off the license plates, you're already getting your background check before the cop gets out of the car. Now, once he has your license, he does another background check of your license, confirms your identity, checks for warrants, does all this other stuff. It's really, for the most part, very unnecessary. And they'll brag about how, oh, yeah, we caught a felon one time because, you know, we just stopped him for a busted taillight. Okay, but how many other people did you inconvenience for that? How many other people did you extort money from over that? And so now it's like, you know, once they make the call, they have, you know, it's on record. Like, if now it's kind of like, you know, well, we have to give you a ticket because this, you know, it's already in the system. We got to, you know, finish this up. It's very rare now, or it's more rare now, that they'll let you go with a warning, which I think that's pretty interesting.
Here's my thing with the whole, you know, activists that drive without a license and stuff like that. Like, from what I've seen, it's not really just a right of travel. Like, I don't think if you look at the law and if you're trying to base your argument on the law, that doesn't exist. The Supreme Court has not said, oh, you do have the right to travel, so you don't need a license. They haven't said that. And I think they have said the opposite. People will disagree with me, but my point is, it doesn't matter even if it is, because I think we need to get to the point where we're, because what if it was the law? Let's say you were the guy who thinks that's the right to travel. What if it is the law? Like, does that mean that it's okay because it's the law? Or do you just have the right to be left alone, period, and it doesn't, right. And then who gives a shit if it's in the law or not? Who gives a shit what the Constitution says?
That's really been my argument. You know, the whole time. And when I first heard about this, I was like, okay, this, like, I wanted to try it. But at the same time, I was like, I haven't seen, you know, at that time, I hadn't seen anyone successfully pull that off, like, on video. And what my concern was, even if this is all true, and you really, you know, there are a lot of court cases, and you really have to explain it, because there isn't, like, just one Supreme Court that says, you know, oh, yeah, you don't need a license. It's kind of like a bunch of different cases that you have to patch together. And if you get stopped by a cop and he doesn't feel like hearing all that, and he doesn't believe you anyway, because what are they trained to do? Think that everything you say is a lie. Right. Then what does it matter? He's still going to give you a ticket. He's still going to tow your car. He still might arrest you.
Exactly.
And so you're absolutely right. We need to get to the point where we can say, like, we understand that this license is either not applicable, or we repeal the law, or, you know, we do something.
I think we need to get to a point and find a way to make cops afraid of doing bullshit like that.
Oh, see, because the FBI is going to show up at your house again.
You know, whatever. I don't care. But here's the thing is, like, you know, they're going to keep doing that. They have all these legal privileges. If you look at what the Supreme Court says, the cop can literally just basically suspect you because you look the wrong way.
Right.
And that's enough to stop you. That's enough. I mean, even probable cause is pretty loose for them. Like, if they can falsely arrest you for a law that doesn't exist, as long as they think it exists, they're safe. And
right. Then they'll say, oh, well, it's a harmless error. That's the one that's what they call it.
Meanwhile, like, your time is wasted. Mm-hmm. Possibly money wasted, and you're not getting any of that back.
Yep.
And who cares? From the government's point of view, doesn't matter.
If they towed your car, you have to pay for that. You can sue the police, but now it's not, it has nothing to do, like, you know, let's say you get arrested and they tow your car, and then you say, oh, well, you know, that cost me like $300 to get my car out, especially since I had to spend 3 days in jail. Maybe I missed 3 days of work. I want, you know, that cost me $1,000. I want that $1,000 back. Now, if they would have charged you, you would have had to prove that you were guilty, right? So it would have been maybe a little bit difficult, except it would have just been your word versus theirs. But if you want to get your money back, you have to prove that you were innocent. Not only that you were innocent, but that the cop had no probable cause to arrest you and no reasonable suspicion to stop you in the first place.
Yes, exactly.
And that's like, what? You should.
One of the things I thought I've just recently learned that I think is such bullshit is when it comes to like citations and stuff, the standard for evidence is really, really loose. It's basically just was it likely that you were breaking the traffic law? Right. And that's all they need.
Reasonable just suspicion. That it was likely. Which is, no, so that's like, they have reasonable suspicion is what it takes for a Terry stop, right? And that's like where they can say, like, you know, oh, well, if I feel threatened, I can pat you down. If you're in a car, they can, you know, run all your information. It's not probable cause. It's just reasonable suspicion at this point. And of course, this all escalates. Now, one of the reasons that they can do that is because if you go to the DMV, and I know I've done this in California because that was the last time I got a driver's license in the U.S., when you sign it at the bottom, read what it says, like read the fine print, and it tells you right there, you're waiving rights. You're consenting to searches. You're consenting to participate in, alcohol tests and all these other things. So, and that's one of the reasons that they say, like, oh, well, you know, he had a license, which is really interesting because if you didn't have a license, you didn't already consent to those things. But of course, the punishment for, you know, for not complying is that they'll suspend your license. So if you don't have a license, that's not really something you need to worry about. But yeah, it's really interesting that's how they position it. But it's like, yeah, well, you signed a contract. So if you refuse, so like, you know, alcohol is a big one. If you get stopped and they ask you to take an alcohol test, this is a field side alcohol test, right? If you refuse that, I don't know if it's the roadside one. It might be the one after your. I think you can arrest the roads. Sorry, you can refuse the roadside one, but once you're arrested, if you refuse that one, then it's an automatic suspension of your license.
Yeah, I have looked into this a little bit. I think it does depend on the state, but there are some states where if you refuse either any of those tests, they can pick you for the violating the statute. It's just, it's really messed up, and I forget what it's called, but
yeah. And what they do is, you know, especially in Texas, like, because here's the thing, the cops are trained on procedure, and that procedure assumes that the person they're stopping has a license from that state. It assumes this, it assumes that. They're not lawyers. They don't understand all the intricacies of jurisdiction and all the complications of a particular case that can come into play. So if they stop somebody and they're trained on, okay, yeah, so you ask them to take a breath test and they refuse, then what you do is you go to this judge and they have this whole process for forced blood draws, and then they'll tie you to a chair and stick a needle in your arm and take your blood and do an alcohol test. Now, you know, whether or not that's legal for somebody who's not from Texas, I don't know. But I mean, it's barely legal for, you know, people who are in Texas. But, you know, if that's their procedure and that's what they're taught, they're not taught all the intricate, because, you know, what's their training like, right? They go to like 3 to 4 weeks, sorry, in the academy before they're ready to be cops. The alcohol training programs are an extra couple weeks. And I've been through some of them, and they're ridiculous.
Which, those are bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane. And so, but yeah, it's like it's all they're salesmen. I mean, they're, you know, it's like when you get hired as a salesman, your purpose is to say, okay, a person walks in the door. How do you get them to close the deal, right? And with the police, it's like, okay, I have somebody I was able to stop for suspicion. How do I get them in the slammer? That's
basically, like, that's how it is. It's just like, how do we incarcerate or punish the most people possible? It's never, is this program working? Is this making roads safer? Is this making sure that people who are driving aren't so impaired that they're going to cause an accident? That's not the standard for these programs. The standard is, how do we get more people in jail? Because the assumption is, well, people aren't following the law. Obviously, they're not doing anything reasonable, so we got to get them.
And it's yeah, we need more. And what's funny is you'll hear politicians openly talking about how, you know, we need more revenue. It's like, okay, yeah, it's not about safety. We know that. All right,
it's funny how openly they admit that.
Yeah, it is. And I'm sure when they do it, either they think they're like within their circle of trust that it's not going to do them any harm. Or, you know, they just don't realize what they're saying and it just kind of slips out. I promised I would play this, this audio clip here. And now I don't know if it's going to start at the beginning here. Hold on a second. All right, let's try this.
A first time offender.
Nope. How do I go back? There we go.
Ross Ulbricht is serving a double life sentence without parole for all nonviolent charges. He is a first-time offender and no victims were named at trial. Ross is condemned to die in a cage because he made a website called Silk Road that allowed people to exchange whatever they chose using Bitcoin. Please help. Go to freeross.org and sign and share the petition to commute Ross's sentence. Let's bring Ross home.
So, yeah, if you're not familiar with the Ross story, that's really interesting. Go check that out. But it's, I guess that's actually really, really related to kind of some of the stuff that we're talking about here. There's, you know, I have a friend I don't really want to talk about it because the thing's going on right now, but the FBI is just making his life hell because they don't, they don't like what he was doing, even though it was completely legal. I can't get into more details than that, but it's like, it's fucking insane. And then you've got Randall Lord, who was, you know, he was selling Bitcoin to his friends and family for, you know, cash for Bitcoin. And he was charged with operating a money service business without an MSB license. And his lawyer convinced him to plead guilty because he didn't understand the law. And he basically, you know, he called the Louisiana MSB board and said, yeah, do I even need a license for that? And they said, no, you don't need one for Bitcoin. And so he went back to the court and said, yeah, I'd like to retract my plea. And they said, no, sorry, that would be inconvenient for us. It's like, yeah, great way to serve justice there, buddy.
It's crazy, man. We could go all day long talking about all the injustices, and your public defender is really not a lawyer that's going to look into the facts for you. He's just going to try to get you a plea deal.
Oh.
Just business as usual. Many messed up stuff.
Did you see the post I made the other day about a public defender?
I think so.
That I had. So there was this case in Nevada, and I was speeding. And So I got to court. They lost the ticket. I'll give you the short version. They lost the ticket, and I was dumb enough to give it to them. So they looked it up, and they took me into the court. And the judge was like, "Well, I guess if we don't have our copy of the paperwork, we'll just dismiss this." And this guy got up and he said, "Well, Your Honor, really, a case of this magnitude, we should take to trial." And I was like, "What the fuck? Who the hell is this guy?" And the judge is like, "Yeah, okay, you're right. We'll set a date." So he set a date. Then that asshole turned around and said, "I'm the public defender." And he handed me his business card. And his business card was actually the district attorney's business card with his name on it. Because that's the thing.
So
like,
dirty.
You have the right to a lawyer, right? Who's going to pay for that lawyer? It's, you think it's like, oh, the state, the court, like it's a court-appointed lawyer. That's not really how it works. What happens is the district attorney is like, I've got all these people on this list, and I want to prosecute all of them. And we got to give them lawyers, Otherwise, it's not right. a fair trial. So they just say, oh, well, we'll hire a couple really bad lawyers and we'll give them to all these people so we can at least say, well, we tried them and they had lawyers and they lost, so they must be guilty.
Right.
It's, yeah, it's terrible.
It's probably why they pay him so little, so that no one takes the job, so that they're always overworked.
It is. They're overworked. They're underpaid. The first thing they do is they try to get everybody to plead guilty because they're just like, I can't take any more cases.
Yeah.
It's insane.
That's why what I've been trying to do is get a whole bunch of people together to run for judge here in Texas and just to dismiss every case they get. You know, because like in Texas, you don't need a license for every single court. But the real low ones, you just get elected. And so very low qualifications.
And what's interesting about those, what they do, and it varies from state to state, but they do this in Texas. Although, let's see, the one I went to in Texas, in California, it's any lawyer, right? So what happens is you go into the court and it's not a real judge, it's just a lawyer. In Texas, I only saw this once, because I mean, I only went into a Texas court once, and it was a prosecutor, an off-duty prosecutor who was the judge, and a different prosecutor who was the prosecutor. And so
what
it's...
What the heck?
So it's here's the thing. It's not a real trial, but what they do is they tell you, well, if you want to come back, and who wants to come back? You're already taking a day off of work, right? If you want to come back, we'll schedule you with the real judge.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, well, I might as well do it. What's the big difference? And so what happens is you have all these fake judges working for the courts. Now, what's interesting is if you were to get elected as a judge, those judges have to be, I'm not sure exactly how it works, but those judges are basically assigned by the court. And, you know, they have like the whole schedule management and everything. If you were the judge of that court, you could stop that from happening, which would force all the cases to come directly to you. You're kind of the, you know, you're the elected official who has the control to change all that. But what's really interesting is when people get elected to judge, and of course, you know, most people who do get elected are usually, you know, state type people who like the system. And they're, you know, they probably walk in there and then orientation day. Okay, congratulations, you're a judge. In order to make your life easier, we've hired these other fake judges to handle all these cases for you. Don't worry, it's a good thing. It's good for justice. It expedites things. It keeps the courts from getting.
Why don't you take all your rights away? It'll be good for you.
Exactly. So then sometimes what they do is they just reserve the big. Oh, you'll handle the big important cases, the misdemeanors and the felonies, which. You know, sounds okay, but it's like, okay, well, why not let a real judge handle these cases? So if you were to get somebody elected as one of those judges, you could throw that system out and say, look, we've got felons we've got like murderers that we need to prosecute in here.
Exactly.
All these traffic cases, dismiss. We don't have time for that.
Exactly. I just want to get a whole bunch of people to just be known for just dismissing everything to the point where the police don't even enforce those laws because it's not worth it. They know that they're always going to be coming to court and it's always going to get dismissed. Because if everyone knows you're going to dismiss every case, they're not taking plea deals. They're going to take it to court if they know you're going to be the judge, which means all the police are going to have to go to court too. And they know it's going to be a waste of time. Dude, if we can just get people to do that, it would just be like magic, I swear.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be really awesome.
I just wanted to throw this out there. We were talking about Houston before with the no-knock raid and shit. I think where people are missing an opportunity is holding these judges, because these warrants don't happen out of thin air. Somebody has to sign that warrant. So where is the accountability for that judge who signed the warrant that ended with two people dying? That was based on an informant that apparently didn't exist.
Yeah. You know? Well, so that would be interesting to figure out. If the judge did in good faith think that this was a legit informant, then maybe it would be the cop's fault who brought it to him. But at the same time, I would think, because you know, what does the Constitution say? It says no warrant shall be issued except testimony by a witness under oath and affirmation. So doesn't that mean that the witness needs to come into the court and sign like an affidavit or, you know,
right.
And if was there an affidavit, maybe there was an affidavit and maybe it was forged by one of the cops. Let's get it fingerprinted. Like this is a crime that happened that resulted in somebody dying.
Plus, I mean, I wouldn't even give him that excuse or benefit of the doubt at this point. Cause in 2019, with all these stories of no knock raids and how
they should be extra cautious.
Nobody should be signing that.
Yeah. You know what? That's actually a really good point. Like the fact that it's a no knock raid, that alone should not be approved as a warrant.
Right. Like a judge should see every time a judge sees a no knock raid warrant come to their desk, their immediate reaction should be, no, we're doing a regular warrant, not a no knock warrant. Get me a regular one.
And you know, what's really interesting about that is, okay, so the no-knock warrant thing is supposedly so that, you know, if they knock, then whoever's in the house is going to flush the drugs, right? One, that means they don't have a whole lot of drugs, right? You're not going to flush, like, 40 pounds of weed down the toilet, you know, in 3 minutes. So that's an interesting point to all that. But then there's also... I don't know where I was going with that. I forgot what my point to was.
Here's something that I thought of while you were talking is, you know, there's at least got to be a balance. You can't have a no-knock warrant and have a bunch of plainclothes people barging into the house. So if it's going to be no-knock, everybody needs super police gear. There needs to be like a whole bunch of siren lights flashing right in front of the house. Like it needs to be so unmistakable. And you need to give like a lot of time, like a full 10 seconds or some shit like that. But if it's going to be a regular warrant, then fine, plain clothes, whatever, because people have time. You have time to talk to somebody. But, you know, there has to be something so that someone can reasonably know, oh, I'm dealing with police right now. And, you know, even then, We gotta get to the point where when somebody is violating our rights, it does not matter how we react, whether what uniform they're wearing. That's the only way we're gonna get police to behave differently.
Right. And you know, that's really interesting with the so I published this Accountable Authority Act on my website a while ago, and it was basically like, okay, assume we can't change the police, what can we do? And we can't change the judges. What can we do that would give the citizens a little bit more power in making sure that there are consequences when police do this? And part of that would be to, you know, for citizens to be able to file criminal charges. Because right now, citizens can only, you know, file civil charges, which, you know, is one thing. But then it's also a lot more difficult to, you know, it's like if you sue the police, what are you going to do? You're taking it out on the taxpayer.
Exactly.
So, you know, that's kind of stupid too. But if you can sue, if a cop is worried that, hey, our actions are potentially criminal, you know, people are, they're doing drugs, they're seriously harming themselves, but we're going to potentially kill them with this action. And we understand that that's a crime. Like, so maybe we're not going to do it.
Like, a great example is if you want to be a notary public, you're required to buy a whole bunch of bonds in case you make a mistake that harms the public.
Right.
So why don't we require that of cops?
Yep, that's a good question.
They're required for insurance to do anything that they harm.
I mean, I'm sure – so police departments are basically private security corporations. So I'm sure they have, a lot of them have insurance, I'm thinking. And, you know, but even then, it's like.
They do. But here's the thing. Okay, so I spent a little bit of time in insurance, and I know at least for federal bureaucracies, there's like a law that requires some kind of federal fund to pay out instead of insurance for anything that a federal employee is liable for. I don't know if that fits in under state employees, but it still, you know, shows a problem where any mistake they make is covered by the taxpayer.
But even
then,
they
do
have
insurance, but it's more for like, you know, it's not anything that they, any mistake they make during the job, more for like auto accidents and things like that.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, you can be driving, you know, let's say, you know, you're driving in a single lane and a tree falls in the middle of the road and you swerve and you crash into someone else's car and kill them. That's an accident. That's what insurance is for.
Yeah.
If you're driving 5 times faster than everybody else and you're swerving between cars and the roads are icy and it's raining and all this other stuff, that's dangerous. And if you kill somebody, you're probably going to go to jail for reckless driving. Like, you're going
right.
to jail. Now, if the police are doing, you know, they're just doing their job, right? They're driving to work. They're arresting people, doing their job. But if they're doing it in a reckless way, like with the no-knock warrants, and it results in somebody dying, that's just as big of a crime. Like,
yeah.
it's reckless. And you know people have died in the past, and you know that's very possible to happen again.
That brings up a really good point, because so many times you'll see police officers doing stuff that is reckless, and they'll excuse it because of, well, I'm doing police work.
Right.
And it's like, you can't do it on the side of the road. You can't
oh, I
pull
love
over
that one.
And do it.
They're driving,
oh my
and
gosh,
like,
it's horrible.
I've talked to cops before, and I'm like, hey, can you get off your phone while you're driving? And they're like, this is business related. And I'm like, no, you don't use your fucking cell phones for
like,
work. You use your radio. Like, are you?
Also, I guarantee you, most of the time, they're not. It's personal.
He's probably
shit.
Talking to his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, dispatch called you on your phone because your radio wasn't working. Yeah, okay, I believe that.
Right.
Yeah, it's, I mean, unless you're a detective, which you wouldn't have been driving that marked car, and even then, pull over to the side of the fucking road like everybody else.
Right,
you,
I mean.
Yeah. It's crazy.
When you're talking about liability, like, anything that you do that causes an accident, you're liable for every damage that causes. But police, I don't know how the system works, but there has to be some level of accountability that they don't get, because they do this all the time, where they're on their phones or doing some shit while driving, and it's bound to cause an accident. And a lot of times it does.
Yeah.
And I would really love to see those insurance claims when those accidents are caused, and see if they're actually held liable for that. I know probably what happens is it's just the department that's held liable and not the individual police
officer.
Which
is the taxpayer. Yeah, and it's like, yeah, they might get written up. They might get, you know, a little dent on their record. But it's like, if you're not, it's so stupid. And, you know, unions play a part in this too. Like, if you work for a grocery store, and, like, every time you, let's say you got the box cutters, right, and you're stocking the shelves, and you cut into the box with the box cutters, and you have to throw away half of the products in every box you open because you're just slashing away and breaking the boxes inside, you're getting fired.
Oh, yeah.
Or it's coming out of your paycheck at least, but it probably won't be tolerated for long, and you're getting fired.
They might tolerate, like, the first few times and be like, hey, you need to do it this way so you don't keep doing this. And then you just keep doing it. Like, yeah, you're definitely getting fired.
But with cops,
for
it's,
sure.
Yeah, most of the times they won't even tell you, oh, Jones. They'll be like, oh, well, be glad it wasn't worse. Like,
right.
Yeah, it's
which that
crazy.
Brings a real big dilemma, because it's like, okay, why are these private businesses operate that way? Because of the profit incentive. So is the answer make the police department give them a profit incentive? Like, I don't know that is the right answer.
Well, so that's an interesting point. But if you think about it, if they were profit-based, you have to eliminate the theft revenue from their profit scheme, right? So if you get rid of, you know, the extortion, the roadside extortion that they do as their revenue, then their profit comes from, you know, oh, we help somebody recover their stolen car. Here it is. Oh, a donation for doing that. Thank you. Or a fee for doing that. Or it's, oh, your car was stolen. Hire us and we'll go track it down.
And the obvious response is like, nobody would donate, but like,
I'll tell you this story real quick. My motorcycle was stolen out of my parking lot in San Antonio, like a gated parking lot around like a big apartment building. And I was like, man, that sucks. I called the police. They filed a report and they were like, did you have insurance on it? And I'm like, no, because I wasn't driving it because it's windy as hell. And they were like, you didn't have insurance. And they started like treating me like I'm the criminal. And I'm like, hey, can we talk about the stolen motorcycle here? And so they call me like a couple days later and they're like, yeah, we found it. It's in a park. And I'm like, okay, where's the park? And they gave me the address. And I was like, okay, well, I'll go pick it up in a little while. And they were like, okay. Then I get another call from them 30 minutes later. Are you coming to pick it up? And I'm like, yeah, are you guys there like waiting for me? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, oh, well, nobody told me that. They just told me it was in the park and I was going to go pick it up later today. And they're like, well, if you're not here in 15 minutes, I'm leaving. And I was there in like 12 minutes because I was waiting. Like, I had my car, but I was like waiting for a friend to drop me off because I can't take it back with my car, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck it. I drove over there with my car. I was there in 12 minutes. The cop was already gone. My bike was already on the tow truck. And in my head, and let me go back. In my head, I was like, oh, my God, they found my bike. Like, this is wonderful. I'm going to actually call them up and make, like, a $200 donation, especially after all that shit I've been talking about how the cops suck. Wow.
Right.
So I get there, and I see my bike. It's on the trailer. And the way that this guy put it up on the trailer, like, he it was, like, on its side. So, I mean, it was already all scratched up anyway, so I didn't care about that. But it was on the starter button, which popped the button out. So now I had no way of starting it.
Wow.
So I was like, great. And then I was like, okay, can you tow it to my house instead, like, of going to the – because, okay, here's the thing. He's going to tow it to the thing, and I'm going to have to pay them for the tow, but then I'm also going to have to pay them to get it out, and I'm going to have to show them proof of insurance. And I was like, I have no insurance because I haven't been driving it. And they're like, well, once it's at the shop, you can pay us to tow it again back to your place. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? So I had to, like, work out with him this deal that I would only pay him, like – 2/3 instead, you know, I would pay him 1.5 toes instead of 2 toes, and he would just take it straight to my apartment, which is like fucking insane. But he wouldn't just take it off the truck because the police were already gone and he wasn't allowed to do that. So fucking, they, like, the police totally screwed me. And I was like, well, you know what, I was gonna go donate like $200 or $300 to the department, but I gotta spend that on towing now, so fuck you guys.
Right.
All because your customer service sucks. Like, all you had to say is, we're waiting for you. Come now.
So true. There's so many cops that just, like, they don't think that they – and the truth is they don't. They don't have to treat people, like, well or with respect. They're just like, well, I'm here and I'm the police and I got things to say. And
respect some people my authority. So they actually
beat people up just because – there's that story recently with the police officer that basically tased this guy on his nuts.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I think in Texas or something. And, yeah, he sued the department over it. A whole bunch of shit happened. But I was watching the video, and I just could not believe what I was watching. And that guy is still employed by the same department.
That's how it goes. Like, or sometimes they'll get a paid vacation.
Right.
It's really, it is fucking insane. There's no like, you know, the ones that do get fired usually just move to another city and get employed. And sometimes it's not even like a move. Like, I mean, in San Antonio, there's like, what, 10 different police departments. So you just got to like commute an extra two minutes. Yeah. It's insane. Yeah. It really is insane. Man. Well, so we're really far off topic, but That's how it goes. Is there anything you want to say about free speech, since that's kind of what got us here?
Yeah, man. Like, I just want to say, people, you see these videos with the FBI and the Secret Service visiting people all the time. I just want people to be certain, and like, your free speech rights are actually like super expansive. One of the best Supreme Court cases to look up just to be sure of that is Brandenburg versus Ohio. This dude was a activist for the KKK. So they took video of him basically spewing a whole bunch of violent shit about black people, saying we're gonna march on the White House. We want to send all the black people to Africa, send all the Jews to Israel, a whole bunch of shit like that. And the Supreme Court said he has the right to say that. So the standard is, as long as you're not inciting imminent lawless action, you're good. So as long as you're not saying something specific and saying we're going to do it right now, say whatever the fuck you want. Say I want to abolish the government. Say cops should get shot and they should be afraid of that. Like, that's fine. So we have to be able to talk to each other about these issues. And so it doesn't do for us to be afraid to even say it because the government might give us a visit. So say it. But also be civil. Civility is a good thing. Don't be an edgelord online for no reason. Do it for a reason. That's what I always say. The best way to spread liberty is one-on-one, talking to people. I say all the time to my brother, you don't have any obligation to talk to cops. You have your rights. Don't be afraid to express them. They can't use the fact that you plead the fifth against you in court of law. So do it. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I just want people to just be able to say what they're thinking and not be afraid of the government for it.
You have to. I mean, you know, Judge Napolitano says, you know, the founders didn't write the First Amendment so we could talk about the weather. There's uncomfortable stuff. There's offensive stuff that needs to be said. And then, you know, and when I say offensive, I don't mean, you know, go out of your way to just piss somebody off because you don't like him, even though it's kind of in your right to do it, but it does make you an asshole. But there are uncomfortable things. Like what I find really interesting is taxation is theft. There are a lot of people who believe it and are afraid to just say that. They're afraid to whisper the words. Because they think the IRS is going to come after them just for thinking that they shouldn't be paying taxes. And that's absolutely insane. If we're unable to exercise our freedom of speech just because we're afraid, not because somebody's like got duct tape on our mouth, not because somebody's got a gun in our face, but because we're afraid of what might happen.
Yeah.
That is extremely dangerous.
That's the worst. Because what you're basically doing is you're creating laws that don't exist to the benefit of the government already. Because you're basically saying it's against the law to talk against the government, basically because you're allowing yourself to be manipulated by what might happen. The FBI might come to my house, so I'm not going to say this. You're essentially doing their job for them.
Right.
You know, so be vigilant and don't allow yourself to do that.
Worst case scenario, get a VPN and a sock account.
Right.
Use a fake name.
Exactly, man. Exactly.
All right. Well, before we go, is there anything you want to plug as far as websites, any of these projects you're working on? Like to hire the judge, replace the judges, elect the judges.
So definitely DM me if you're in Texas and you like what I'm talking about with the judges. I'm trying to get a list together. And especially if you do have a license and you're willing to take that bold step and be a judge that just dismisses cases, talk to me. So DM me. Also, definitely everyone check out the Libertarian Party Psychedelic Caucus on Facebook. We're doing a lot of good stuff. I am part of one of the committees for our esoteric document. We haven't done a lot on that specifically, but we're going to start doing more. So a lot of big moves with that. So at the very least, check it out. See what you can do to join the caucus. We're not just the shrooms. We're talking about all the psychedelic drugs. And so we see a lot of moves with marijuana. We want to see it for psychedelics too.
That's crazy, man. Also, you ever tried DMT?
Every day, man. Not really, but it's so funny, that joke. Oh man.
There's actually a lot of down here where I am in Mexico. There's a lot of like, I guess there's DMT comes from peyote. Is that right?
I have no idea.
So they have a lot of these like spiritual experience right. places where like they'll do, you know, they'll do all kinds of like Mayan rituals, and they've got peyote and some DMT wow. from, I think there's like other plants, like a few different plants that they have.
Yeah.
But,
that's interesting. You know, this is just a random trivia, but there was these, Indians that were fighting back against the Spanish in Mexico, and they called them Chichimecas, and they basically went and like raided these settlements for supplies and food. And every time they did it, they got high on peyote before they did it. I don't know what it did. Maybe give them a lot of
give them a little bit of extra courage
or whatever, yeah. a little bit of extra juice. But yeah, it's kind of funny.
That's awesome.
But yeah, we got to get those judges in there. Got to get some anarchists in those judge spots.
Absolutely.
Not just to be better judges, but literally absolutely admit this is my goal, to delegitimize the justice system, because if they are not seen as legitimate, they got no power.
Yep.
So, that's what
and
we gotta do.
I'd say, I mean, if you include all the traffic cases and everything else, I'd say like a fair 90%, 95% maybe of all the cases that go through these courts are completely illegitimate and useless.
Yeah, exactly. So, and especially if it's just these lower courts, you don't have to worry about, oh, I'm going to be dismissing theft cases. Like, no, all you're saying is traffic cases, dismiss
right.
them all.
Yeah. You know? Let's keep it to the important stuff.
That's yeah, really exactly. Awesome.
All right, man. Well, it's been great talking with you. And actually I'm going to plug some sites before I go, cause I always forget to plug my own shit. Okay. Taxationistheft.cards. If you want to get, your hats, this one is not for sale, but there is some other cool stuff on there, some other cool hats, all the t-shirts, phone covers, umbrellas, beach towels, all
oh
anything taxation is theft is there. It's pretty awesome. Go check it out.
I need to get on that.
And and check out the podcast on taxationistheft.info and the blog, and also check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/taxationistheft2, and check us out on Twitter, taxationstheft. ES theft.
Oh.
Because, okay. Yeah, the other one was taken. I mean, it's popular. Once. What can I say?
Yeah.
We did get YouTube. YouTube.com/taxationistheft is ours. So
nice.
We're proud of that one. All right, man. It's been awesome talking with you. I hope everybody learned some great information, had some interesting insight on some of these things. And I guess if there's one lesson they should have learned from this talk, what do you think it is?
Taxation is theft. You got the right to freedom.
There you go. I like it. All right. We'll see you later.
All right. Peace.
Taxation is theft.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living room.
My job is to find the truth.
Double the taxes.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Triple the taxes.
This is an IRS agent's dream.
If you think that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself.
Beautiful, lovely taxes.
Sorry, but I don't do taxes.
Did you see the memo about this?
The government is a greedy piglet.
Just leave us alone.
Do you know what Ralph just said?
Rhodes.
You boys like